Chapter 2. They looked normal enough, filing into the lecture hall where we held our first muster the next day, rather young and a little stiff. Most of them had only been out of the creche for 7 or 8 years. The creche was a controlled, isolated environment to which only a few specialists, pediatricians and teachers mostly, had access. When a person leaves the creche at age 12 or 13, he chooses a first name, his last name having been taken from the donor parent with the higher genetic rating, and is legally a probationary adult, with schooling about equivalent to what I had after my first year of college. Most of them go on to more specialized education, but some are assigned a job and go right to work. They're observed very closely, and anyone who shows any signs of sociopathy, such as heterosexual leanings, is sent away to a correctional facility. He's either cured or kept there for the rest of his life. Everyone is drafted into UNIF at the age of 20. Most people work at a desk for 5 years and are discharged. A few lucky souls, about 1 in 8,000, are invited to volunteer for combat training. Refusing is sociopathic, even though it means signing up for an extra 5 years, and your chance of surviving the 10 years is so small as to be negligible. Nobody ever had. Your best chance is to have the war end before your 10 subjective years of service are up. Hope that time dilation puts many years between each of your battles. Since you can figure on going into battle roughly once every subjective year, and since an average of 34% survive each battle, it's easy to compute your chances of being able to fight it out for 10 years. It comes to about 0.02% of 1%. Or to put it another way, get an old-fashioned six-shooter and play Russian roulette with 4 of the 6 chambers loaded. If you can do it 10 times in a row without decorating the opposite wall, congratulations, you're a civilian. There being some 60,000 combat soldiers in UNIF, you could expect about 1.2 of them to survive for 10 years. I didn't seriously plan on being the lucky one, even though I was halfway there. How many of these young soldiers filing into the auditorium knew they were doomed? I tried to match faces up with the dossiers I'd been scanning all morning, but it was hard. They'd all been selected through the same battery of stringent parameters, and they looked remarkably alike. Tall, but not too tall, muscular, but not heavy, intelligent, but not in a brooding way. And Earth was much more racially homogeneous than it had been in my century. Most of them looked vaguely Polynesian. Only 2 of them, Kayabanda and Lynn, seemed pure representatives of racial types. I wondered whether the others gave them a hard time.